Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We've been emphasizing passages like Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because something seems right to us doesn't necessarily make it right. It's the Bible that decides for us what's right and wrong. I thought tonight, while we're waiting on our first call, we would talk about the subject of divorce and remarriage. Divorce and remarriage. Almost everybody who listens to this program agrees with me that gay marriage is wrong. But I believe that churches allowing adulterous marriages, the compromise to start allowing adulterous marriages over the last several decades, is what has opened the door to churches allowing, compromising, and allowing gay marriage. Here's a quote that I'd like you to consider that'll help you see what I'm talking about. Here's this preacher named Ken Wilson. He's this, quote, pastor for this large congregation. Some years ago, they switch from opposing gay marriage to allowing gay marriage. Here's how he justified it. He says, "I have proposed a path for these pastors that allows them to embrace people who are gay, lesbian, and transgender and to accept them fully, welcome and wanted, into the company of Jesus. I wrote a letter to my congregation when I realized my views had changed and I needed to communicate the intense theological, biblical, pastoral, and spiritual process that I'd been through to get to this new place. It began with the burr beneath the saddle of my conscience. Why was I willing to let so many divorced and remarried couples know that they are welcome and wanted while refusing that same welcome to gay and lesbian couples? How could I say to the remarried couples whose second marriage was clearly condemned by the plain meaning of Scripture, you are welcome and wanted, while saying to the two lesbian mothers raising their adopted child together, I love you, but I hate your sin?" How did he justify switching and starting to allow gay marriage? He says, "We've been accepting adulterous marriages for years, so why can't we accept gay marriages?" He said, "We've been accepting these second," and he's talking about heterosexual marriages, "second marriages, which are clearly condemned by the plain meaning of Scripture. We've been accepting those, so why can't we accept homosexual marriages?" He's right in a wrong kind of way. He's being consistent, but he's consistently wrong. We should never have accepted those adulterous marriages. Let's talk about that more. First, let's talk about the fact that marriage should be between male and female. When I debate the gay church, sometimes they'll say, "Jesus never said anything that would condemn gay marriage." Well, they're not right about that. You know, the Old Testament condemns homosexuality. Of course, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. The New Testament condemns homosexuality 4, 5, or 6 times. But according to the gay church, it's always by one of the epistles of Paul or something, never Jesus talking about. But don't you remember, Jesus said right before he left this earth, he said in John 16:13, that I will send the Holy Spirit and he will guide you into all the truth. So when Paul was writing and he condemned homosexuality in 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10, for example, he was being inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God instructed that homosexuality is wrong in the writings of Paul, in Romans 1:26-27. And as I said, in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. But here's what Jesus said about marriage. I think you'll see from this that homosexual marriage is not God's intention. Matthew 19:4-5. Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." So he's referring back to Genesis 2:24, the definition of marriage. And here's what he says in verse 4. I just read 5 and 6, but now let me read Matthew 19, verse 4. Jesus said, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man flee father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." In the very definition of marriage from the very beginning, God's definition, from Genesis 2, and here Jesus reiterates that original definition for marriage, it was to be between male and female. So Jesus did indicate that marriage has to be between male and female, not two men getting married or two women getting married. The Bible does condemn homosexual marriage. For example, Romans 1, 26 and 27 reads this way. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat." 26 is condemning lesbianism. 27, gay men. So you can't, gay marriage is wrong. According to the Old Testament, New Testament, according to Jesus, the Bible condemns it all the way through. Marriage should be between male and female. I suggest, and I'm getting a little frank here, you can tell by the body parts of a male and a female how the sexual relationship is supposed to go. The body parts do not fit unless you're talking about heterosexual marriage. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. So marriage should be between male and female. Jesus said that in Matthew 19, 4 and 5. The cutesy little saying is right. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Now, next point. We're moving on from gay marriage. We're going to heterosexual marriage. And we're going to suggest from the Bible that divorce is wrong. Even divorce by itself, even if a person never remarries after he gets a divorce, divorce is sinful. A while ago, we were reading from Matthew 19, and we read verses 4, 5, and 6. So let's read verse 6 again. Jesus says, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Or the newer translations says, "Let not man separate." So when I married Carol back in 1988, and we made our commitments to one another till death do us part, God expects us to follow through on that commitment. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, he's not talking about marriages that God doesn't join together, like a gay marriage, like that, or a second or third marriage, heterosexual marriage. But if God has joined it together, like this marriage that Carol and I, we neither one of us have been married before, got married in 1988. What God is going together, let not man tear apart, put asunder, separate. Divorce is a sin, according to that passage. Let's also look at Matthew 5, 31 and 32. Here's Matthew 5, 31 and 32. Jesus said, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Notice Jesus said, if you put away, divorce your wife, saving or except for the cause of fornication, you cause her to commit adultery. What's that talking about? That's talking about because she's not, you've left her, you've divorced her, you're not fulfilling your sexual responsibilities toward her. It puts her into a place of undeserved sexual temptation so that if she goes out and satisfies those sexual desires, her sexual desires with another man, not her legitimate husband, she's committing adultery, but you caused it because you divorced her for a reason other than fornication. That's the reason it's wrong. One of the reasons it's wrong to divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication, because then she's not going to get her sexual desire satisfied with you, which is legitimate, God's way, she's going to be tempted to go out and get him satisfied outside of marriage, outside of lawful marriage. She will be committing adultery when she does so. You will have caused it. That's how we know it's a sin to divorce your spouse. Point number three, even marital separation is a sin. Even if you don't get a divorce, marital separation is a sin. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 7 to show that. 1 Corinthians 7, here's the sexual verse I was talking about that shows we have husband and wife have sexual responsibilities toward one another. Verses 3 through 5, 1 Corinthians 7. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Husband and wife have these sexual responsibilities toward each other. Not supposed to suspend that because you're going to be tempted and you may go out and sin because of your lack of self-control. That's why it's wrong to divorce your spouse. That's why it's wrong to separate from your spouse. Separate from your spouse because you won't be fulfilling the sexual responsibilities and your spouse will be tempted through lack of self-control. She may be tempted to go out and commit adultery. I think 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 puts this idea of separation being wrong even more definitely or specifically. Verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. And here God's law says the wife is not to depart from her husband. So if the wife departs from her husband, she's violating this verse. It's a sin. Even if she never marries anybody else, if she departs from her husband, separates from her husband, she's violating 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10. So marriage, gay marriage is wrong. Divorce is wrong. Marital separation is wrong. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. The lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Now, next point. Second marriages are sinful or adulterous unless you divorced your spouse because she cheated on you sexually. I think almost all of us have read this passage before. It's not like it's unknown to the listeners of this program. Matthew 19:9, Jesus said it plainly. It may be easier said than done for people who are not in, who are in bad marriages, but Jesus didn't say it to where it's not clear. He said it plainly. He said in Matthew 19:9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. If you put away your spouse, divorce your spouse for any reason other than her cheating on you sexually, any reason other than fornication, and you marry another, you commit adultery. You commit adultery. Because you're still bound or obligated to that original wife, Romans 7, 2 and 3. You're bound to her as long as she lives. And the second part of Matthew 19:9 says, whoever marries her that is put away doth commit adultery. So if Carol were to cheat on me sexually, I have the right in God's eyes to divorce her for that reason. But if she doesn't, and I divorce her for any other reason, and I marry, let's say, Betty, that my marriage to Betty would be adultery. And if Carol were to remarry, her marriage would be adultery. You know, that's what all churches used to say. If you go back 100 years ago, all churches used to say any divorce for a reason other than fornication, remarriage, results in adultery. Here's a quote from a guy named Anthony Donovan in the Orange County, California Register. And he's a liberal. He doesn't agree with me on this issue, but I think what he said, he's stating the facts of the case here. He said, some conservative groups believe that divorced people who marry another spouse are living in sin. However, the number of divorces in the United States has led most denominations away from that teaching. What's he saying? He's saying the conservative groups used to believe if you get a divorce and marry another, you're living in sin. But the number of divorces went up. The rate of divorce went up. It's led most denominations away from that teaching. He didn't say they restudied what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage and realized they were wrong, that it's okay to divorce and remarriage. No, he said, that's not what he said. He's saying, well, they had the truth to start with. They thought, they said, when you divorce and remarry, you're living in sin. Adultery is the way Jesus put it. But since the divorce rate went up, they compromised that. If you're listening to this radio program, odds are 95% of the churches out there have compromised. If you go back 100 years ago, 100% of the churches, the denominations, said if I divorce Carol for any reason other than fornication and married, let's say Betty, that marriage to Betty's adultery. And if I want to be saved, if I want to repent and get forgiveness from God so I can go to heaven, I'm going to have to get out of that marriage to Betty, that second marriage. 100% of the churches said that 100 years ago. Now, less than 5% of the churches will say that. Why? According to Donovan, a liberal, and I think he's right, they changed because the number of divorce, the rate of divorce went up. They couldn't, you might say they couldn't afford to stand for the truth on this. They compromised. And now almost every church says, well, divorce is regrettable, but whatever marriage you're in, you stay in it. Even though Jesus said, if I stay in that marriage to Betty, that second marriage is adultery. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 says, adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, the sexually immoral shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So people in second marriages, adulterous marriages, are just as wrong as people in gay marriages. In that sense, Kenneth Wilson had it right. He was consistent. We've been accepting adulterous marriages. Those go against the Bible, so we can accept gay marriages, even though those go against the Bible too. What he should have done is realize that they got to quit accepting adulterous marriages. If they're clearly condemned by the plain meaning of Scripture, which he admitted, quit accepting those adulterous marriages. Stand against the adulterous marriages and stand against the gay marriages too. These adulterous marriages have to be terminated if you want to be right with God. If you want to be right with God and go to heaven, if you're in a second or third marriage and you didn't divorce your first spouse, your original spouse for fornication, you're in an adulterous marriage, that has to be terminated if you want to go to heaven. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number is 877-655-6755. If you want to ask your question or make your comment on the air, such second marriages must be terminated. Here's the definition for an adulterer, according to my Vine's Bible Dictionary. Denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. So it repeats as long as the second marriage is intact. Debated a person one time. He says, yeah, the first time you have sex with that second wife, you commit adultery, but not after that. But this says, it's adultery is having unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. As long as you keep doing that, you keep committing the sin of adultery. Here's repentance. Repentance, based upon Matthew 21, 28 and 29, is a change of mind leading to a change of action. If you repent of the adultery in that second marriage, that means you've got a change of mind that's going to lead to a change of action. You're going to repent and you're going to get out of that second marriage. You're not going to keep committing that adultery. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This, what happens here is going on while the Old Testament law is still in effect. So I'm just saying, this is just an illustration of what you need to do if you find yourself in a unscriptural marriage, an adulterous marriage. Mark 6, 17 and 18, Herod had divorced his wife. Herodias had divorced her husband, and now they're married, Herod and Herodias. John the Baptist confronts them. Mark 6, 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. What did John the Baptist mean when he said it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife? He means you got to get out of that marriage, right? I'm not sure. I don't know if I can take this call. Let me try. Bible Crossfire. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Are you talking to me?
I'm trying to. Did you call to get on the Bible Crossfire show?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Oh, okay. I have a question. I was a single woman, and I was sexually attacked by a man. And I knew him, but I didn't. He was not a boyfriend or anything to me. And I became pregnant. Too ashamed to tell anyone. This was years ago, but since then, I married him. Afraid and ashamed. And, okay, so...
You may need to turn off your radio so you don't get the feedback.
Okay.
Turn off your radio. I think that's confusing you.
Is this better now?
Yes. Are you saying you were raped? Okay. Are you saying you were raped by a man and got pregnant?
Yes. And
then you married that same man?
Yes, I married him. But I married him only out of shame and fear. I didn't know my scriptures well enough to know that. I was saved at the time. I was a Christian at the time, so that wasn't the case. But I didn't think that I understood that marrying. I think I buried the whole experience, and because it wasn't until years later that I started to realize. But we never got along. Never.
Yeah.
Ever.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question?
Yes. My
Bible question.
I'm sharing this because I'd like some direction on this. We've been married now 42 years, but we live like roommates. We've always lived like roommates. And he was a married man at the time. He was married to another woman, and he was trying to get I know all the story now, but I didn't know it then. He was trying to get another person to help him get a green card. And that's why
if he was married to another, how did he marry you if he was married to another woman?
Well, he was married to her at the time that he took advantage of me.
And then how did he marry you if he was married to another woman?
Well, he got the divorce from her.
Okay, did he divorce that first spouse because she cheated on him?
Yes. But that wasn't the reason why. It's an ugly story. Maybe this is not the radio station for it. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I can call you later and we can talk about this some other time.
I definitely appreciate it because
Thank you. This would be better to handle offline, I think.
Do you have my phone number?
I got it. I'll call you later.
I'd appreciate it anytime.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Elle from Minnesota. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yep. So my question is, did I sin by asking my wife to leave our home? After I assume she may have committed adultery.
Did she commit adultery or did you just assume that?
I don't know. So I came home one day and there was another man in the home. She's a personal trainer. And so at the time I had expressed, please do not train in our home. And she said that he was a client and that she was training him. But everything about it just wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and so Matt, I don't know if I like. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can't tell what happened, you know, in your house sometime when I wasn't there, and you don't know for sure yourself. But Jesus said, "Whoever puts away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery." So if she cheated on you, you had the right to divorce her. But if she didn't cheat on you, you did not. That's the bottom line.
Now, what if I didn't see it and she says that nothing happened? But again, a man leaving our home.
I'm going to have to. I can't answer that question because it depends upon the situation. Let me try to talk to you later. I have to go off the air, but read Matthew 19.
Sure.
That's the only thing I can do is read what the Bible says. I'm going to let
Matthew
you go.
Matthew
19:9. I'll try to call you later so we can have another conversation about it, okay? All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Bye. I'm going to have to go off the air. Good calls. If you would like to do a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256 682-9753.